Blog Talk Radio.
Dr. Dre, crank it up, crank it up.
Here we go, Rob.
Let's do this, let's do this. Talking sports from the 12th man. Oh yeah.
Your time is up, my time is now. You can't see me, my time is now. It's the franchise where I'm shining now. You can't see me, my time is now.
In case you forgot, oh fellow.
God, we'll tell him all the times what we do. Time is now. You are talking sports with 12 men. Man, what a special Tuesday, Rob. You got to recognize it is, of course, February the 10th. And like we said, you are now talking sports with 12 men. I am Andre Peterson, joined by my fellow co-host, Mr. Robert Ford, here in the ATL. So, Rob, I always got to check with you. How are you doing this evening, man?
Oh, man, doing great, man. I know you're in the ATL, but I had to come check on these Atlanta Hawks on myself. So I had to come sneak through the back door in your city.
You know, you're always welcome, even though, you know, we'll talk about some ulterior motives there. But, you know, this is what we do. So without further, without keeping you guys waiting, we are going to fill out some numbers. If you want to follow us, join us, talk, all that fun stuff. Officially, you want to call into the show or give me that number, it's always 424-243-9519. Once again, 424-243-9519. You can follow us on Twitter. We are in that space. If you go to @12, THMAN Sports, you will find us in that space. And then finally, without further ado, go to follow us on, we are also in that space. If you want to go to Facebook.com, you put /12man sports, or if you put in Target Sports 12 man, you will see an awesome picture of me, maybe one of Robert too. But that's how we do, as always, man. And you know, we got a lot of topics to discuss. You know, we always talk about the NFL rules and football is rules, so we're gonna talk about a lot of things. We're gonna talk about college football recruiting that's just been passed, Rob. Some NBA things have been going on too, man. So we got a lot of things to cover. But I guess we're gonna kick it off with some news about Peyton Manning. Word on the street, Rob, is he was in the gym, and he's working out, and I guess it seems like he's preparing to play in 2015. What's your thought? Does it tarnish his image? Should he kind of like go out on kind of in his own set, Rob, or will he play next season?
Well, he has every intention of playing at least one more season. He actually has dedicated his workout routine. He's going to be working out in New Orleans in off season with fitness guru Mackie Shillstone. And now there's been some talk about the Denver Broncos, you know, moving on without him. But I think Denver is going to, I think here in the next week, they're both going to commit to each other for next season. But there was some talk about the Broncos moving on without him. But I think even if the Broncos did decide to move on without him, Peyton Manning is still gearing up to play one more season. But I think in the end, it's going to be one more season with the Denver Broncos.
Did you say, Rob, that he's dedicating his season to somebody? What did you say?
No. He's working out this offseason. He's already started out his workout for the offseason. He's going to be working out in New Orleans this offseason with fitness guru Mackie Shillstone. And the Denver Broncos were deciding if they even wanted Peyton Manning to come back or if they wanted to move on without him. But it looks like in the end, I think they're going to commit to one another. I think Denver is going to commit to having Peyton Manning back at least one more year, as well as Peyton Manning is going to commit to the Broncos for at least one more year. So it hasn't been officially announced, but I think you'll hear that official announcement sometime within the next week.
Gotcha. You know, I was trying to throw a joke in there about he's dedicating his season to somebody, but Rob was trying to keep it serious. But you know, I respect it. You know, he's in New Orleans, kind of in your neck of the woods. You know, kind of getting that workout in there. So we'll talk about that as well. Let's talk about some NFL players, Rob, that are going to bounce back in 2015.
Well, I think there's a few that comes to mind. I look for Sam Bradford. I know he's had a injury riddled career thus far. And but I look for him. I don't know if it's going to be with the Rams or if it's going to be with somebody else on next season. But I think, you know, there's some interest. There's actually some teams in the top of the draft that would prefer to try to go with Sam Bradford over Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota. So that's very interesting there. So look for Sam Bradford. I think the Rams are going to let him walk. But I think a team like the New York Football Jets may give him a chance. A team like the Buffalo Bills may give him a chance. So I look for Sam Bradford as a guy that you can keep an open eye on, you know, rejuvenating his career. Another guy I look to see bounce back coming off a major injury last season, Sean Lee, linebacker of the Dallas Cowboys. I look for him to bounce back. And a third guy, not last but not least, but you may have a few players as well, but my third guy would be Nick Foles. I think he comes back and have a year similar to what he had the year before last. Struggled a little bit last season, but I think that the Eagles go back to him, and I look for him to have somewhat of a resurgence as well.
Man, okay. I was thinking about some players that you totally caught me off guard with Sam Bradford. I'm not quite as sure as if he's going to want to walk, man, but you think he's coming back. We'll see about him. I'm thinking about some players, Rob, this is pretty controversial, that we're in some trouble, like, you know, the Greg Hardings of the world, maybe some Adrian Peterson of the world, you know, some people that have some tough, kind of a tough year. I'm kind of interested to see how they're going to make a little comeback here, if they are definitely, thinking of what's going to happen with what's been an interesting offseason, to say the least.
Yeah, absolutely. Those are some very good names there. Greg Hardy in particular, I look for him to definitely be back with the Carolina Panthers. I know that's, not music to our ears, being that both of our teams are in the NFC South. And so I definitely would look to see him back with the Carolina Panthers. Adrian Peterson is somewhat of an unknown at this moment. If somebody's going to pick him up or if he's going to play football at all next season. So that's going to be interesting to see. But I definitely think you're going to see a Greg Hardy back with the Carolina Panthers next season.
Yeah, you're not going to see Tim Tebow, or we'll have to keep an eye on Johnny Manziel to see what happens in their scenarios too. So we'll keep moving as always.
There's always got to be a Tim Tebow mention with Andre Peterson. Always.
Oh man, I got to figure out how to conveniently put it in.
You got a man crush on the zoo, people.
I'm not saying man, because I think it's funny, man. I just try to, like, figure out a way to fit it in there. We're going to keep moving here. And I guess we're going to talk about this. We had a great time giving our mock draft, kind of a first-round mock draft, last couple of shows if you had a chance to join us. And we're going to keep moving. We're going to kind of maybe do, like, the top 10, top 12 picks here in our second round mock. And, Rob, I'm going to let you kind of start this off, too, because, we're so far – we're kind of a couple weeks here from the combine and a lot of exciting things in free agency. So this could definitely change to what happens before. But tell us kind of as we get ready to get to our second round mock, how you have this kind of setting the stage here as we get ready to do kind of the first couple picks here in the second round.
Yeah, well, we're going to tease you with the first 10 picks of the second round. And next week we will get to the rest of the second round. But, you know, we don't want to take up our whole show talking about a mock, so we'll cover these 10 picks. First off, we got Tennessee, Sammy Coates, wide receiver from Auburn, tall, rangy receiver, be a good weapon. I still have Marcus Mariota as Tennessee's first-round pick, so you get your quarterback and you give your quarterback a weapon to throw to in this situation if Tennessee needs to improve that offense. Now, number 34, we got Tampa Bay taking Jalen Collins, tall cornerback with great size, good speed, good range of motion, cornerback out of LSU, will help Lovie Smith in that defense. And Oakland, another cornerback, sleeper, a cornerback from Wake Forest. There's Oakland, Jack Del Rio and Ken Norton Jr., the new defense coordinator for Oakland. try to continue to elevate that defense to another level. Jacksonville looking to improve the offensive line here. I hadn't taken Leonard Williams, defensive end, defensive tackle from USC in the first round. They go and improve the offensive line with Cameron Irvin, the center from Florida State, whose stock is rising, could even sneak into the first round, Cameron Irvin. So if you're looking at Jacksonville so far, I have them improving their line of scrimmage play with the offensive and defensive lines. New York Jets, they've been taking the beating at the cornerback position the last few years. They go out and get a sleeper, Quentin Rollins, cornerback from Miami, Ohio here. Washington go out and get a big defensive tackle, 6'6", 338 pounds, Jordan Phillips from Oklahoma. And Chicago Bears, get another weapon at the receiver position, Jalen Strong, wide receiver, Arizona State. And New York Giants getting a defensive end, athletic defensive end from UCLA, Agbaji Zehuma, defensive end, UCLA. St. Louis gets a playmaker at outside linebacker from UCLA and Eric Kendricks. And your Atlanta Falcons has been taking 6'6", 250-pound tight end Max Williams from Minnesota in the second round. So that's just a sneak peek into our second round. Like I said, I don't know if Andre has any comments, any of these picks or questions, or if you, our listeners, have any questions, you can call us 424-243-9519 with any questions about second round mock. And like I said, we'll complete the rest of the second round next week.
You know, I definitely got to say that was definitely a I love Rob, you know, I love you, bro, you know, but that pick for the Falcons sounded like a Saints player making a pick, man. There's no way we're getting the tight end that early in the round, but, I'm not dogging. I just think it's funny, man, because I don't think we're gonna tight end that early. We're on the street, we're looking at maybe free agency, maybe a Jordan Cameron, maybe a Charles Clay. I don't know what's gonna happen, but if we had a tight end that early, I'd be pretty disappointed. But knowing that we need to address, our defense and stuff like that too. But that's okay, it's all good. It's what we do. We definitely like to, have that as a fodder for talk too. So as Robert said, if you want to call on the show and give us your picks and give us your thoughts on that, 424-243-9519. So I know this is the next topic. Maybe I should ask my co-host if he needs a mental examination, but the judge rules that the same one must go through the mental examination. What's up with that, sir? What's going on with that?
Well, you got to keep in mind here, these are mock drafts pre-free agency. And obviously, free agency is going to play a lot in what teams are going to do in a draft. So these drafts are obviously subject to change, but he's just having a little fun. We don't know what teams are going to do in a free agency, the realm of free agency. So obviously, I think most NFL teams like to operate like this. They like to operate by filling your needs in free agency and drafting best player available when it comes to the draft. So as of right now, my mock drafts is a combination of needs and best player available because obviously free agents hasn't started yet. So the Falcons still looking to improve the tight end position. I can tell you that much based on our sources. And, Max Williams is a player that can possibly be a weapon in both the passing and a blocking game for the Falcons if they were to go that route.
It's all good, man. I think it's great, man. So I'm just prodding you, man. But good stuff as well too. But let's keep it moving. I know we're talking about you talking about your Saints owner and his what's going up with the judge, man? Asking to go under a mental examination. What's up with that?
Well, I don't know if you know the story down in New Orleans. Obviously, Tom Benson is 87 years old. He owns the Saints. He also owns the NBA Pelicans. And actually, he had slated for his granddaughter to take over both teams when he passes on. But obviously, there's been some family rifts, and now he's changed his hairs to his wife. And so so now he's changing everything to when he passes, his wife would take over both teams instead of his granddaughter. But obviously, his granddaughter and his daughter and his grandson are not too happy about that. And so they're taking Tom Benson to court, and now the judge is, they're saying that Tom Benson is not in 100% mental, well, he's not mentally stable at the moment to make the changes over to his wife. And so now the judge is just ordering three doctors to evaluate him and see if he's in his right mind making his decision or if he's not in his right mind making his decision. So something interesting to play out. You know, it's a major topic in New Orleans, of course, getting a little play nationally, but definitely a major topic of business in New Orleans as we speak.
Very interesting. I'm surprised you didn't throw your hat, Rob, as far as that, too. But, yeah, it's we'll definitely keep an eye on what's going to happen with that, too, sir. That's pretty it's going to definitely affect both of those franchises, so I'm sure that's why you guys are keeping a close eye on that situation, huh?
Oh, yeah, well, absolutely. You know, I think anyone that's working for the Saints and the Pelicans, I think everybody seems to – to want the wife to take over instead of the granddaughter. And so that should be interesting. And obviously because the wife is going to keep everything status quo and continue to be business as usual, whereas there are some rumors that the granddaughter will come in and shake up some things. So, and so obviously everyone wants it to be business as usual, and that's the way Tom Benson wants it as well. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
Gotcha. Well, yeah, definitely keep us updated as far as what's happening in your hometown, and we'll definitely see how that plays out moving on in the future. I know we're going to talk about a couple of different things here. I just wanted to throw out, this was definitely a little tangent. I definitely wanted to send some condolences out there. We lost, Ed Sable, who's been really big with NFL Films. You know, his whole legacy has been tied in that. He lost his son earlier, Steve Sable, too, so that's just another sad thing, but I definitely want to throw that out there because we are huge football fans, obviously, so it's something to think about. And ironically, I'm surprised you didn't bring this up, but, you know, Dean Smith, I mean, legendary coach from North Carolina, you know, he guided a lot of those teams for North Carolina. He had two national championships, and word on the street that he was the only player to hold Michael Jordan under 20 points because he forced him to play a team game. But this guy was just a great kind of legendary coach, and it's interesting. He didn't win as many games as coach Mike Krzyzewski, but I know he helped put North Carolina on the map. And they were even talking about, Rob, that he may not be one of the. And this sounds weird. He was a great coach, but not one of the greatest coaches because you know I don't know. They're basically saying certain things like he was definitely an iconic figure, but he's not going to leave a mark like. You know, having all these different wins like Krzyzewski. So, you know, it's just interesting. But his impact can definitely be felt as far as all his players that played for him and also the state of North Carolina and also helping to build that rivalry between Duke.
Well, absolutely. I'm glad you brought that up. And obviously I failed to mention that on our show topic, so I apologize about that. But I'm glad you are bringing it to the forefront here. But definitely Ed Sable played a big role in helping – to improve how television is viewed, I'm sorry, how football is viewed through television.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think he did a great job to selling the game and exposing the game and from a behind-the-scenes aspect, too. So definitely a great loss and condolences out to his family. And then, of course, Dean Smith, you know, one that touches home a little bit for me. Even though I'm not from North Carolina, this is a program that I follow tremendously. And was a fan of the program. And not only was Dean Smith an innovative coach, but he was also a guy that was a great humanitarian. He was all about guys doing the right thing. You know, he stressed equality for all people. And you have to respect him for that. Treated everyone the same, regardless of race, regardless of class. And a great humanitarian for the game. And, you know, I know there's a lot of debate, as far as his legacy. I know he's been like 11 Final Fours. At one point he went to 13 straight Sweet 16s. Only won two national championships, and I know to some degree some people are giving him a lot of heat for that. Probably lost some games in the tournament that he probably shouldn't have lost. But, you know, one thing I will say to those critics, and, you know, and you know, maybe it is, you know, it's, maybe some of that is deserving. But I think what people have to realize, too, and John Wooden won a lot of these championships for UCLA. They only had to win two games to win a championship. But whereas now, as you know, you have to win six, seven games to win a national championship now. So it's a lot easier to get upset in the tournament than it was back in the John Wooden days. I know a lot of people like to compare Dean Smith to John Wooden. I don't necessarily think that's a fair comparison because, once again, when John Wooden was winning national championships, they only had to win two games in the tournament to win a national title. So it's a lot different now. Or when Dean Smith's era was a little bit different.
Gotcha. Well, man, I definitely appreciate you taking the time to spout about that. You know, I appreciate the topics, but, you know, we try to make things relevant to the time. But great job as always. I wasn't definitely trying to steal any of your thunder. I just figured it'd be good to kind of add that too, because especially coming from, like I said, I know you're a huge fan too, and you know, Dean Smith is a class act and an iconic figure. And, you know, like you said, even though he may not have won a lot back in the days, he definitely helped put North Carolina on the map and even build that rivalry with Duke, man. So it's just been a great time. And,
absolutely.
You know, he will be missed, man. So just something, nice little shout-out for that, too.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought it up as well.
Mm-hmm. Good deal. Good deal. 8 minutes of the show. We've already got the numbers here, 424-243-9519. We're going to keep moving. Didn't know about this, Rob. Wes Welker. And there's a couple of free agents brought for the Broncos. I'm sure this is definitely going to have something to do with if Peyton Manning comes back. You know, we know about Julian Thomas, the tight end, Demaryius Thomas, the wide receiver, talk about free agency. And Wes Welker is considering retirement. Is this something that maybe you think that Peyton Manning could try to talk them out of this? Or what do you hear word on the street about the Broncos?
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously he's still weighing his decision. I know we talked about Peyton Manning. I think it's pretty close to 100% that Peyton Manning will be back at least one more season. But Wes Welker is still in a 50-50 stage on his decision if he's going to come back or if he's going to go ahead and retire. So I don't have a whole lot more information than that, but other than the fact that he is considering retirement. But we will have to see. I'm sure once Denver makes the official announcement, I'm sure their organization, along with Peyton Manning, is going to do everything they can to convince him to come back and at least try for one more go-around as well. I think he's still a quality football player. You know, maybe not as good as he was 2-3 years ago, but I think he can still have an impact on the game. So this is a situation to stay tuned to.
Definitely. Good job. Rob, 10 days from the NFL Combine, and there's a lot of interesting players, and I know we kind of differ slightly as far as if certain quarterbacks should throw, they shouldn't throw. But tell me some five players that you think that we should definitely keep an eye on at the NFL Combine coming up.
Yeah, well, the first one is Tyler Lockett, wide receiver of Kansas State. And right now I have him as a mid-round prospect, somewhere between third to fifth round as we speak. Shifty guy. I think he's a guy, if he has a great combine, has an opportunity to move up in his draft. So he's definitely a sleeper to watch. Once again, he's about 5'11", 175 pounds. He can also help teams in the return game, so that can increase his value some as well. So he's a guy that watches. Like I said, right now I have him going somewhere between the third and fifth round. What a great combine, has a chance to move up. Another guy I think you should take a look at is Eric Armstead, defensive tackle, Oregon. Now, if you listened to our show last week, I have him going in the first round of my mock draft. Here's a guy that's 6'8", 290 pounds, with explosive quickness at the defensive tackle position. Still a little bit raw as well, so he's still got an opportunity to grow and improve his game. So he's one to watch as well. Wide receiver from Miami, Philip Dorsett, 5'10", 183 pounds. Has blazing speed. Also a guy to watch out for a return game as well. So he's right in that same area with Lockett, somewhere between the third and fifth rounder, but I think he's a sleeper that has an opportunity to move up as well. Brent Huntley, QB from UCLA, I'm looking at him going somewhere between the second and the third round, but I think with great personal workouts, great combine, of course, Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota will not be drawn at the combine, so this is a chance for Huntley to really shine and at least solidify himself as a second-round pick or sneak into the first round. And last but not least, wide receiver Adoree' Green Beckham. This guy can be a top-10 talent. If you listened to our show last week, right now I have him going to the bottom of the first round to Seattle at 31. But with a great showing, if people can believe in his attitude, that he's changed his attitude, this guy can – he's got Randy Moss-type abilities, so he can definitely be a huge steal, 6'6", 225 pounds. You know, he's got some red flags, so he's going to have to really show that off-field incidents are behind him. But if so, this guy can be a real, real talent.
Is this Mike? Is this Vikings Randy Moss or is this Oklahoma Raiders Randy Moss?
Vikings Randy Moss.
I'm messing around. You know, I like it. I like it. And I guess this is going to be interesting too, Rob, because I'm curious to see what's going to happen with the Eagles. I mean, is Marcus Mariota the perfect quarterback for Chip Kelly's offense? Are they going to go up and get him? I don't think the Titans are going to take a quarterback. I think they're set. Maybe they're going to try to, like, fake that, and then, you know, maybe they're going to get some opportunities here. But, you know, like I said, do you think Marcus Mariota is the perfect quarterback for the Eagles? Can they make a move up from 20, try to get him?
Well, obviously, Chip Kelly is going to do everything in his power to move up and get Marcus Mariota. He thinks he's the guy who's a perfect fit for his offense. And obviously, they're going to do everything they can to get him without Marcus in the future. So it's going to be interesting to see how that goes. Should be fun to watch. But I think regardless, I think Nick Foles is still a starting quarterback in the National Football League. And so if the Eagles are to find a way to move up and get Marcus Mariota, there'll be teams looking to get Nick Foles off the Eagles' hands as well.
Nice. All right, we got 2 minutes and about 18 seconds, Rob. You want to go ahead and set up the OT portion of the show? We got a lot to talk about. We definitely want to talk about some of the top five college football recruiting classes. We're going to talk about Kevin Love and LeBron. There's a little feud going, some NBA talk, and we're going to finish it strong as we always do. So, Rob Ford, I will leave it in your capable hands, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. We certainly appreciate everyone tuning in, listening in. We'll be at same time, same channel next Tuesday night, which will be Mardi Gras night, people. Next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So we'll be on air again next Tuesday night, same channel, same place. Of course, we'll be continuing to preview draft, combine talk. Obviously, we're getting the heart of NBA and college basketball season as well. So we'll be right in the heart of that as well. So you definitely do not want to miss next week's show, people. Good night.
Good night. We always thank you. So, Rob, you did that pretty quickly. So we've got about a minute or so. So, you know, I don't know if we want to start with that too, but we are going to, as we talk about, we're going to set the stage for the OC portion. And it's going to be fantastic. We got to talk about college football. We just wrapped that up. So we're going to dive into that, as mentioned. And maybe we'll kind of keep you guys, if you're listening to us live, right before we get to the archive portion, we'll kind of leave it hanging. But Rob, top five college football recruiting classes. It seems like you're always going to have the Alabamas of the world, some teams that are left out. I'm going to talk about Florida's of the world. Man, what happened with that? LSU's, your squads, Texas A&M, where do they rank? What's happening, Rob? What's going on with this, sir?
Well, obviously, right now, my top five, obviously, it's SEC heavy, but number one is actually USC. They finished their recruiting extremely strong. Steve Sarkisian, if you get his name right, finished extremely strong. Of course, in the our recruiting, we look at getting defensive lineman Porter Gaston, 5-star guy. They got the number one cornerback in the nation in Iman Marshall, running back Ronald Jones, wide receiver Deontay Burnett. So Sarkisian getting guys on both sides of the football, trying to get USC back, obviously, to where they were a few years ago. So they definitely slowly but surely making their way back to getting the better players in Oregon. But, you know, obviously Oregon has been winning, and so it'll be interesting to see if they can get back on that level. Alabama, of course, number two. Alabama's got 2 5-star cornerbacks in this class. Nick Saban, obviously, being the secondary coach himself, is very hands-on with his corners. He's got 2 good ones in his class, Kendall Sheffield, Minka Fitzgerald, 2 5-star corners on their way to Alabama. They get a 5-star defensive tackle in Darian Payne. Also got a 5-star wide receiver in Kelvin Ridley. So the riches keep getting richer. Running back Damian Harris as well. And they got a 5-star quarterback, Blake Burnett from California. He's going all the way out to Alabama to play for Nick Saban. Got a 4-star linebacker to watch, too, Joshua McMillan. So Alabama has a second-ranked class. Third-ranked class, go down to Auburn, go to the Plains. Arguably got the number one defensive end in the country, Byron Cowart, 5-star defensive end. They got 2 highly recruited JUCO players, running back Jovan Robinson, wide receiver Joshua Smith, and also getting a couple of 4-star players, defensive lineman Caleb Kim, and 4-star fullback Chandler Cox. And a surprise on the recruiting ranks, Tennessee. You know, haven't been maybe ranked this high in recruiting since Philip Bowman days. But number 4 is the Tennessee Volunteers, getting back to their roots and getting some good recruiting class. Got the, arguably the number 1 defensive tackle in the country, Khalil McKenzie. Got another highly recruited defensive lineman, Kyle Phillips. Highly recruited offensive tackle, Drew Richmond. Got a 5-star wide receiver, Preston Williams. And also got a 5-star JUCO running back, Elvin Kamara. Want to watch him as well. And a couple of 4-star prospects, linebacker Darren Kirkland, running back John Kelly at Tennessee. Last but not least, rounding out the top 5, right here in the Georgia area, number 5, Georgia Bulldogs. They loaded up with defensive linemen in this class, and that defensive line is going to be a terror here in the next couple of years for these recruits. Got the number 2 defensive tackle in the country right here from the state of Georgia, Trent Thompson. You got a bunch of 4-star defensive linemen and Jonathan Ledbetter, DeAndre Walker, Nathan Patrick, Michael Burnett, and Chauncey Rivers. So they loaded up with a bunch of 4-star defensive linemen and 1 5-star defensive tackle. Also went out and got wide receiver Terry Goodwin, cornerback Rico McGraw, offensive tackle Patrick Allen. So they closed with a few other 4-star players. So Mark Rick did a fine job solidifying that defensive line the years to come as well.
Whew. Thank you, Rob. That was pretty impressive, as always, with top 5 recruiting classes. And it's, you know, I'm sure if you are SEC like we are, you're probably surprised to see USC get that top spot. They're definitely getting off of that probation, Rob. Maybe there'll be a balance of power with USC kind of coming back, trying to set the dominance. You know, Oregon, they weren't in the top five, Rob, but they keep getting players that kind of fit what they're looking to. They get speed players, but they're always getting speed. So they're reloading. And I know Mark Hitzler, I butchered the coach's name, but I know he got an extension too from what I'm hearing too. So they're going to keep that train moving for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you know, Oregon is a different kind of program. They're going to recruit players. They're going to build them up. They're going to redshirt them, most of them, except for the elite guys they get. Whereas these programs we just mentioned, these guys get elite players that can come in and play as true freshmen. A program like Oregon has to coach those guys up, give them in the weight room for a year, redshirt them, and get them ready to play.
Let's kind of shift gears, Robin. Let's talk about the NBA. And I got a shout out to Alex, my barber here, because he's a huge LeBron James fan, Rob. I'm just going to tell you that right now. So he's a LeBron fan, and we talked about I'm a Hawks fan, as you didn't know, if you didn't know. And he was like, yeah, Hawks are going to have be in trouble whenever they face Cleveland. And I was saying, you know what? I don't think there's a lot of chemistry with Cleveland right now. I mean, I know you add some all-star players, and you still got to get through a lot of that melting, of chemistry, Rob. There's one game where Kevin Love's been pretty inconsistent. He scored maybe 12 points, and he scored 2 points, and he had a big game, obviously. But do you think there's some friction or chemistry? And I think that's a huge thing. That's why I think it's tough for somebody to come in and for them to make an impact going into the season, Rob, or even the finals, playoffs.
Well, I mean, I think it's going to be interesting to see. Obviously, there's still a lot of time left in the season for Cleveland to kind of continue to improve on the streak that they've been on. And so that's going to be interesting as well. And but I think if I had to make a prediction based on what I'm seeing right now, I think Atlanta and Cleveland is on a collision course to be in the Eastern Conference Finals. But obviously, if the season ended today, Atlanta and Cleveland will meet in the second round. But I think Cleveland will keep improving their position and probably work their way up to the second or third seed. But I think Atlanta and Cleveland, when it's all said and done, are the two best two teams in the Eastern Conference. And, I think one of those two teams will be in the NBA Finals.
There's been a couple different moves. If you didn't know what's happening, go ahead, Rob. Somebody say something there?
Oh, one thing I was going to mention, the Atlanta Hawks, Mike Budenholzer really brought that Spurs system to the Hawks, and they're playing great team basketball. And obviously that same concept worked with beating the Miami Heat last year too.
Yeah, I mean, and I know we don't have a lot of length right now. I know everyone's looking at, a team that's got some length like Memphis and how they kind of had a nice little win against us. But, I think it's, we played one of our worst games and we still almost won that, So it's just, that's mm-hmm. the thing. We're believers here. We're pretty excited about that. Thank you for the shout out, obviously. And, they're not quite calling it Spurs, but we've got some similarities. We don't have a Tim Duncan, obviously a huge 7'11", 7-foot guy to kind of like man in the middle, but we got enough pieces and we'll see how it tweaks. Word on the street, Ray Allen is considering coming back. He's looking at a couple of different teams, Hawks, Grizzlies, Cavs, Bulls, a couple of teams here. So we'll see how that plays out too, Rob. This is going to be a pretty interesting playoff run here after the All-Star break.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be a lot of fun watching to see how things go down the stretch here. Still a lot of basketball to be played. And like I said, another team you can look at in the Eastern Conference is Toronto. I kind of like what they're doing as well. But I still think in the end, we're looking at Atlanta and Cleveland in the East.
Love it. Couple of moves. Hornets acquire Mo Williams from the Timberwolves. What's going on with that, Rob? I mean, Mo is pretty talented. What's going on with that? I want to talk about that. And we still got about 6 minutes or so. And then I want to talk about the Hawks and the ability to dominate Wilkins sculpture too. So go ahead with that. We'll get to the top five teams here.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. When you look at the Charlotte Hornets, the Eastern Conference, the bottom of the East is so weak. And they still have an opportunity to get into the playoffs. And so they're trying to do everything they can. Kemba Walker is still going to be out for quite some time. So they're looking to solidify that point guard position while Kemba Walker is out. So, they're thinking this is a good move. As a matter of fact, if the playoffs started today, Charlotte would be the number 8 seed in the East going up against your Atlanta Hawks. So they're trying to solidify. And the Charlotte Bobcats, the Charlotte Hornets, they're 8 games below 500, and they're number 18 East. So they're trying to solidify getting to the playoffs and hope that Mo Williams can hold a fort down until Kemba Walker returns.
Talk about the Dominique Wilkins sculpture, sir.
Yeah, I'm sure this is something you might be able to elaborate as well. Michael Jordan has a sculpture right outside of the United Center. Obviously, Dominique Wilkins was a major force for the Atlanta Hawks in the basketball scene in Atlanta in the 80s into the early 90s. And, you know, as a NBA, a huge NBA fan, I was definitely a big fan of the NBA in the 80s, even growing up, you know, saw a lot of Dominique Wilkins. It was an exciting player to watch. I think it's well-deserved. Yeah, I think it's definitely well-deserved, and it's about time.
Good job. Thank you, Ron. Let's talk about the top five teams, and we'll talk about Dwayne Wade. He is not going to be playing in the All-Star game. And we got a nice little shout-out as well for his replacement. But top five teams in the NBA, Rob, what do you think? What you got?
Well, right now I still have the Golden State Warriors at number one. I know the Atlanta Hawks did beat them last week. But I still have the Golden State Warriors at the number one spot for right now. Still arguably one of the best backcourts in the NBA. Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson, dynamite backcourt, and solid play in the interior as well. Number two, I have your Atlanta Hawks there, you know, playing great team basketball. Got to give them a lot of credit. Budenholzer has done a tremendous job. Jeff Teague has elevated his game tremendously. Got to give him a lot of credit as well. In the number three spot, I have the Memphis Grizzlies. A tough, grit team, plays great chemistry, great team basketball as well, playing great defense. And I tell you, Zach Randolph, Marc Gasol, neither one of them can jump a half inch off the ground. With all their tough down there on that block, get boxed out, you're not going to get around them. They're really gritty and smart basketball players. They're a tough team to beat, these Memphis Grizzlies. Number four, Toronto Raptors. Talked about them a little while ago. DeMar DeRozan, Kyle Lowry. They got some tough interior players as well, hard as nails. And this is an underrated basketball team. Right now they're the number two team in the Eastern Conference. Number five, quietly the Houston Rockets, even though Dwight Howard is out. I tell you, James Harden is playing like an MVP. Scored 40 points again tonight, beating the Phoenix Suns. He's carrying that team, even with Dwight Howard and the injuries. And quietly, the Houston Rockets are doing some big things. They're number three seed in the Western Conference at the moment. I have them at the number five spot.
I'm cool with a lot of things, but the first team here, I'm going to reverse that. I'm going to go the Hawks number one in the league because they beat Golden State, and that was a fantastic game. I think that was a good game to put them on the map because there's a lot of non-believers, and I think we were able to show that we can hang with the squad like Golden State, and I've got it number one because we got a better record overall. So that's Andre's pick. I'm going to give Golden State some love for a lot of my California love. California love. Golden State. I like Toronto, Memphis, and wrapping up with Chicago versus your Houston. But that's what I've got going into that fray. Houston and Chicago can kind of be flipped. Either work and can take that top five. But Rob, we got 2 minutes. Before we wrap up the show, I do want to just give a quick shout-out. I know Dwayne Wade is out. Kyle Korver is in. Very excited to see our Hawks get a lot of representation. Very proud of that as well, Rob. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, four Atlanta Hawks going to be in the NBA All-Star game. Definitely well-deserved based on the season that they're having. Dwayne Wade still battling injuries at this point in his career. Kyle Korver will replace him in an All-Star game. Much deserved there as well. We're going to wrap up our show. Obviously, we'll be back on the air next Tuesday night, Mardi Gras night, people. It's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 Central Standard Time, 8 Pacific. Our friends in Hawaii, that's going to be 5 p.m. Our friends in Germany, that's going to be 5 a.m. on Wednesday morning. So once again, we certainly appreciate everyone tuning in. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. Continue to tweet us. Continue to like us on Facebook. Continue to send us questions. And we will be glad to respond in a timely fashion. Good night, people.
Good night, people. Rob, thank you for that as well. I wanted to end with something, but I just lost my train of thought. But no worries. It's all good. Good job, as always. And, man, I really feel bad. I had something that was pretty dynamic to say, but that's okay. Anyway, Rob, good show as always. We appreciate you taking the time coming up with that. And, Like Rob said, stay tuned next week. I figured it out. Hopefully, Robert will still be okay from hanging out for Mardi Gras. Hopefully, he'll still be he won't pass out somewhere on the street too. So that's what I wanted to say. Be safe.
Oh, we're gonna make it do what it do. All right.
Good night, guys. Have a good evening. We'll see you same time, same show next week. Sequest is out.
All right.